Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support. And now it's time to relax with our coffee break.
I'd like to introduce Jim Moran, who is our next feature on our coffee break.
Hiya, Joe. Hi,
Jim. It's good to have you on board again. It's been a long time since we've had a good chat like this.
Great stuff, yeah. Well, we're talking about music, and my music takes me way back to the 60s. And they always say that if you remember the 60s, you probably weren't there, but I was there. And I do remember I started being interested in music from school, really, learned piano from an early age, but never kept it going. But when the guitars came in about the early 1960s, I started getting quite interested in guitar, and especially sort of pre-60s, everybody sort of learned to play the guitar with the old skiffle era. So I learned along with lots of other people in school to play a bit of skiffle. I think when I was 14 or 15, I started playing in bands. And I used to go home at weekends from St. Vincent's, so I had a lot of contacts at home. And if you could play a little bit of guitar, then you could get in a band. And the last place left in the band that I could get in was the lead guitar job, so which I'd never done. I never really fancied it. Wanted to an easy job with the rhythm guitar, but this is the only job left. So I grabbed it, and it was great fun. It was a big learning curve, and I got my first electric guitar when I was 14 and a half, and my dad didn't know that for an electric guitar you also needed an amplifier, so having signed for the guitar, he then had to sign for the amplifier. So that was his first shock, and my first learning curve that you need to be pretty well organized. I was lucky, really, that I was living in Liverpool, where there were an awful lot of bands. Every youth club had bands playing two or three times a week. My local youth club, which was in West Derby, had bands like the Beatles and Jerry and the Pacemakers and the Big Three, Foremost. All those bands came through the youth clubs. So you saw them all. I saw the Beatles and paid the equivalent of two bob to see them, which is 10 pence in new money, to see the Beatles on our local youth club. So that was a real incentive to see these bands that were sort of a little bit ahead of us, and to learn from the excitement that there was around. Because I quickly discovered that if you're going to cop off with the girls, you've got to have a technique. And my technique was getting into a band, so that was really my driving point. Our very first gig we did, we rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, and the very first gig we did was at the Cavern Club in Liverpool, as an audition. And the band at the time was called the Photons, and we played this audition on the same night. We had the Beatles were top of the bill, so I happened to, as my first claim to fame, played on the same stage on the same night as the Beatles in the Cavern, and that would have been about October 61, and that was just before they made it pretty big. They went away to Germany, came back, made a record early 62. And that was the last Liverpool saw of the Beatles. So it was great to have that experience at a very early time in my musical career. I left Liverpool to go to Birmingham to college. And if you play the guitar and you've got a Liverpool accent, in 1963, you were guaranteed a job in a band. So I got a, first of all, in a band in the Brib. And that was Queen Alexander Tech. They had a sort of working band there, and that got me into that. But I was going out with a girl who lived in Redditch, just outside Birmingham. Used to go up there for weekends, and finally got into a band in Redditch, all sighted guys in this band. And that was quite an experience, playing in a sort of Midlands band when I hadn't didn't know anybody in the area. So it was a really good door opener. Came back to Liverpool in 65, and because of my vast experience in bands in Birmingham and Liverpool, I got an approach fairly quickly to come and join a Liverpool band, which was the Idle Hours. And the Idle Hours ran from 65 right the way through till round about 85. And one of the gigs that we did as a regular gig was back at the Cavern, but this time getting paid for it. So if you ever come to Liverpool and you go to the Cavern, they've got on where the site of the old Cavern was, there's a brick wall there that has a brick for every band who's played in the Cavern. And I'm delighted to say that I've got two bricks in that wall. I've got one with the Photons and one with the Idle Hours. So I'm immortalized in brick on Matthew Street. So that's my other second claim to fame. The Idle Hours did pretty well. We swapped from playing beat music and country rock and roll music about early 66, when we found that there was a lot of demand for modern country music, sort of music that was creeping into the top 10 and top 20 at the time. The ones that spring to mind are things like Green Green Grass of Home and Please Release Me, but there were many others like Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town, Little Old Wine Drinking Me, all those the songs that we see on karaoke nowadays. They were all top 20 songs then. So we'd actually gone into switched ourselves over to a commercial market. We were a five-piece band, and I was still linked to St. Vincent's because the guy who sang with the band was John Southern. John sadly died last year, but he and I had met in school and been in the Photons together. We're in the Idle Hours together. And in 67, early 67, we had the chance to go full time. We were getting so much work, as you could in them days. You could work 7 nights a week, getting so much work that going to work in a factory during the daytime and then going out at night. And then trying to get up early, coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning from playing nightclubs and then going back out to work in the morning, it was just too much. So we both packed our jobs in and went full time with the band. That took us around an awful lot of the pubs in London. We used to do a regular circuit in London, a regular circuit in the Midlands. We played up the West Country from Cornwall, Devon, Somerset. And we were guaranteed sort of 10 or 12 nights at a time working in the West Country. So we'd start off at Cheltenham, go right the way up to St. Blasey in Cornwall and stay there. And then we came back and stayed in a hotel just outside Exeter called Haldon House. And we worked from Haldon House round the Exeter area. So we guaranteed 12 nights a week. And that was 4 or 5 times a year. So we made an awful lot of friends in the West Country. We worked up the northeast, working the working men's clubs up there in Newcastle, Gateshead, Middlesbrough, Darlington, all around that area. And we were guaranteed another 4 or 5 weeks work up there every year, or 10 days at a time. So we consequently, when we came back to Liverpool, we were a pretty well-practiced band because we were working solidly. And because we weren't available in Liverpool, and of course, the work that was back here, we got the lion's share of that when we came back. So we managed to do all of the big clubs in Liverpool, Allinson's and the Wookie Hollow, all of the big nightclubs in Liverpool. We were doing those as part of a cabaret act. And in fact, one of my sort of memories is playing on the Eagle and Child in Highton, which is probably the roughest pub in Liverpool. It's now knocked down. We played that on the Saturday night and the Empire Theatre on the Sunday. So it showed the variation of jobs you could do as a band. You could be playing on the theatre one night supporting an American act and previously playing on the Eagle and Child supporting usually a Saturday night fight. So it's quite an interesting job. I did that sort of full time. Right the way up, and I met my wife Sue while I was doing that. She often jokingly says that she was a groupie, but I did meet her through the group because she was John's cousin, and she came out on New Year's Eve when she had nothing else better to do to watch the band, and then started coming out with us all regularly. So that's how I met Sue. So I did quite well out of the music business. I bought my got my first house and got our first car with the proceeds of playing in a band, had my kids. And then she turned bandit on me and said, why don't you get a real job? So in 1982, I did a course and qualified to do the rehab course up in Leeds. Went off there for a year, was a student for a year. I was still playing in the band at weekends. And when I came back, I got into, first of all, into RNIB and then onto the job I just retired from, which is chief exec of Bradbury Fields. In between time, I've always kept my music going because I played in a functions band from 83 to 2003. I played in a functions band, and that was sort of playing golf clubs and Rotary Club dinners, all that sort of stuff. We had a girl singer, and she was exceedingly good at the sort of show band kind of stuff. So we're mostly playing covers and that sort of thing all the way through that era. Still play now. I'm in three bands now at the moment. I'm with a band called All or Nothing, which has Paddy Rodaway in the band and Phil Longworth. So they're contacts back to St. Vincent's again. So we have a band called All or Nothing, which is a five-piece band, four singers in the band. That's quite a struggle, getting four singers and five instruments moving. And I'm also in a Shadows tribute band, doing all Shadows, 60s Shadows music, Buddy Holly stuff, Elvis. And we also run a band that I started way back 20 years ago at Bradbury Fields called The Usual Suspects. And The Usual Suspects are people who are visually impaired, shown an interest in playing a bit of music, and we started running some music projects. One of the things that came out of it was a bunch of people who wanted to play and sing rock and roll, and that's a 10-piece band. So imagine how difficult that is to establish a 10-piece band that plays everything from ballads, country music, rock and roll, and some punk. We got one guy who's really into punk, so that's quite a variation of music. So I've kept my music. Now I'm retired. I'm playing a lot more music than I played before. Now learning keyboards, and I've just recently bought a ukulele because ukuleles are fun. And I'm back at St. Vincent's. I'm teaching a little bit of ukulele on a Wednesday to the kids at St. Vincent's. So there's my link all the way back, starting at school and linking all the way back to it.
Wow, yeah. That's an amazing career, Jim.
Well, it's been great fun. I absolutely fantastic. The guitar has opened an awful lot of doors for me. And that's only just a little bit of it. Some of the experiences I've had over the time has been absolutely phenomenal.
For anyone who's interested, just as an aside, we actually Pat Rodaway, who Jim mentioned just a few minutes ago, has actually been one of our coffee breaks as well. So if you've not listened to it already, you can listen to Pat's musical influences and his journey as well.
Yeah, we would like to finish one of your tracks in a few moments as well, Jim. I'd like you to choose which one you'd like for us. But if people want to get hold of your music, is it available anywhere, or if people want to book you or anything like that, what's the best way of people finding out more about your music and what you do?
Well, we've got a CD out that we recorded in the studios at Bradbury Fields, and it was all the tracks I wanted to play all the years that I was in the band. And when you're in a band, you have to play, I suppose, a degree of music that everybody else wants to do, or the audience want to listen to, or whatever. It's kind of a partnership you choose. And I wanted to record a bunch of songs that I'd never ever played with the band but always wanted to do. So they start off with tracks like from Eddie Cochran, and I did an instrumental called Walk Don't Run, which is an old Ventures number. But I think one of the two ways of getting hold of the music, one is that you can actually buy the CD. And I'll leave my phone number on that one. So we're going to either send you a CD. It's £5. There's no postage and packing. We can bung it off to you. And there's about 12 or 13 tracks on that CD. Or you can buy it as an electronic download that I'm sure Mike can organise. Again, you can pay a fiver, but the proceeds will go to SVOPA. So you can buy the electronic download through SVOPA, and the money will go to direct to the organization. So, Mike, you do have the CD anyway, don't you?
I do. Can I be really cheeky, Jim?
Go on.
Do you fancy donating a digital version of as a prize and coming up with a competition?
We could do that. Let's work out a competition then. Okay. What is a really stiff one here? Which song was it that the Beatles turned down that became a number one for Gerry and the Pacemakers?
Right, so send your answers to info@vitalk.co.uk by the end of February, and then we'll get in touch with Jim and he'll draw a winner.
Great. A song we want to play off the CD. I'm going to play one that hasn't been played before on any of the interviews, and that's a Buddy Holly song. I think it's track 7, and it's called Maybe Baby, but it was written by Buddy Holly, released after his death, after he was killed in the air crash. And it's one of my favourite songs, and it was a song that was played by most of the Liverpool bands during the Merseybeat era. Everybody played Buddy Holly songs, but this was one I think that everybody else played, and it's called Maybe Baby. And on that track, I got one of Liverpool's top singers singing along with me, a guy called Kenny Parry, who's been in the Swinging Blue Jeans, Liverpool Express, many other bands. He's singing harmonies with me, and I've got a guy on piano from Jukebox Eddies called Mike Byrne. And again, he's been in lots of bands in Liverpool, the Moody Blues. He was also in the Roadrunners and lots of other bands since, but he's now there. So he's playing piano on that track as well.
Thanks very much, Jim. As always, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. So do you want to introduce your song and then we'll close?
Right. Well, this is Jim Moran and it's a Buddy Holly song called Maybe Baby.
Contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.